For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Indeed. It's the Independent Podcast. Independent Wrestling Podcast. What the hell? Holy shit. Oh, man. My brain's fucking melted today. It's a good day. Good start. All right. Let's go. I'm Mike. It's Wednesday. That's Reg. We talk about independent wrestling. How are you, Reg?
You're muted.
I'm muted. Am I live?
No, you're not.
Okay, yeah. Some a lot was going on. The intro started playing five times in a row. I was like, why is the intro playing? Like, am I rapping over the intro?
Oh, great.
Whatever, I'm here. It's Righteous Reg. It's Wednesday. It's Indeed, your favorite rapper, your favorite writer, your favorite podcaster. We're here. It's independent wrestling. There's a lot going on, as always. Very excited to be here, Mike.
Absolutely. And got an amazing guest today. He kicks a whole lot of ass. He also makes a whole lot of wrestlers who kick a whole lot of ass. Look good. Well, they kick a whole lot of ass too. Someone from my neck of the woods, Southern Ontario, GTA Golden Horseshoe representative of the 905, Sway Archer. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm very tired, which is the normal response from me. But otherwise, I'm very good.
I don't think I've ever talked to you and you haven't been like not very, very busy.
I am so busy and so tired all the time.
Well, that's probably because you have, kind of two careers going within one career.
Yeah.
So if you're not familiar with Sway Archer, Canadian independent wrestler, you see him all over the scene here in Ontario, perhaps in Montreal, perhaps in the border states. And if you haven't seen him wrestling, you've most definitely probably seen somebody wrestling in all that fire ass gear he makes.
Mm-hmm. It's one of the fun things where I often say that if I can have a wrestling career that catches up to the reach that my gear career has, mm-hmm. even at this point, I'll be happy. Because I put together like a little list when I started making gear. Mm-hmm. And I'm only missing like three things off that list out of like the 20 things that I had.
Right.
And most of those have to do with main roster WWE. Mm-hmm. But other than that, like I've accomplished way more than I thought I would in my first 2.5 years of doing this.
Like also on the flip side, so there's like the few that you haven't accomplished. How many others on that list are also like main roster WWE and stuff that have been checked off too?
So technically two of my bucket list things that were accomplished that did have to do with the main roster were I wanted to, because most of my things I split up between I want to design something and then I want to make something. So I've designed something that ended up on the main roster. that being the gear for Pete Dunne and Ridge Holland. When Pete first went back to wearing the singlet, and when Ridge Holland got trunks to match, when they started using the plaid designs, I designed the first set of that. That was set up through through a friend of mine, George, who used to promote Destiny up here in Canada.
Yeah.
And so Pete was his champion for, a year and a half or something like that. So he knew Pete very well, and he's reached out to me. He said, how quickly can you get me a design? I did it within, 3 hours. And then that ended up on the main roster as a design. So that was one bucket list thing. And then the other bucket list thing was I wanted gear in a WWE 2K game. So that gear that Pete Dunne and Ridge Holland wore ended up in 2K, but then also the gear that I made for Trick Williams ended up in 2K. Wow. So I ended up doubling up on the same year, which I didn't expect for either of them to end up, either of those sets of gear to end up in it. So
that's wild. I'm the only person on the this podcast currently who doesn't have anything in a video game.
True.
Did you have music in?
Yeah, I have music in the AEW game.
That's what I thought it was. I thought I saw something about that because I know a lot of a lot of the music was Ruckus, but then the other music, it was very much people that I had known off Twitter. I think you have stuff in there. Mega Ran's got stuff in there.
Mm-hmm.
That's really cool. Your time will come, Mike.
Yeah. Yeah.
I believe it too.
Someone's going to need some independent wrestling, discussion in a video game one day. I'll be there.
Hopefully.
Absolutely. We did kind of talking about the duality of your careers. Obviously, they both tie back to wrestling. So I did want to kind of bring it all back to the beginning. Find out, when did the interest and love in wrestling kind of develop for you? And then how did that translate not only into I want to step into the ring, but then also I would like to, design and make a bunch of cool ass gear myself and other people to wear in the ring.
Interest and love in wrestling is a weird one because it's just one of those things where it's literally just always been a part of my life. Mm-hmm. My dad watched wrestling my entire childhood. So I remember growing up just having stuff around to do with wrestling. There's a picture of me when I was I don't even have cognitive processing power. I was 2 years old and I'm in a Stone Cold vest. One of the ones they made for kids back then. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. I'm just in a Stone Cold vest, having all the action figures and stuff like that, playing with them as a kid. It's weird because I wasn't as much of somebody who watched the television product as I was somebody who played the video games, which might actually have something to do with me ending up as a gear maker and designer because that started out of video games. Going from watching it as a kid, I can't tell you exactly when I started actively watching to when I stopped, but I do know that I was not watching for Ruthless Aggression. I was not watching from 03 to, I want to say 08, because I remember going back and watching it all retroactively and being oh shit, some of this was really, really good and some of it was absolutely abysmal.
But you missed some bad shit.
There was some bad shit, but I always tell people the first thing that I remember seeing on WWE TV, I know I've been watching consistently since then, is, and this is going to be really fucking weird and really out of left field, is the feud between Chuck Palumbo and Jamie Noble over Michelle McCool. Do not know why that is my first memory of I know I've been watching consistently since then, but I have been. I've been watching consistently since that happened. I've been watching Impact intermittently since. Another one where I remember the first thing I saw, and it doesn't make any sense, was Rock and Rave was the first thing I saw Impact.
All right.
Yeah, so I ended up more so with the video games, though. Like, from Here Comes the Pain onward, I've played all of the games. Had all of, owned all of them, played all of them. And the desire to make gear was a very short-lived thing around the time I started training. So I started training when I was 15. Didn't really do me much good because it was like I had to take so many breaks because like I was only going one day a week because I didn't have a car. It was the only way I could get there. It was like an hour away in Toronto. So my mom had to drive me. She was only going to drive me one day a week because my older brother played sports. My younger brother played sports. So I started training when I was 15. Really only got like a few months out of it before I stopped. By the time I was ready to come back, that school had closed. Go to Battle Arts in Mississauga. I started with Squared Circle in Toronto with Rob Fuego, where I started. That school closed by the time I was ready to come back. Battle Arts opened, so I started training there. And about the time that I did my first show, just like a Battle Royal spot or whatever, I had gone to the fashion class at my school and asked basically the teacher, do you have anybody who would be interested in making just a pair of pants? Because I didn't want tights. I didn't want trunks or bikers or whatever. I just wanted pants, but I didn't want them to be like trash bagger pants. Like, I didn't want them to be like early 2000s indie stuff. And I originally wanted something like Fandango's. And I remember messaging like the only gear creator anybody knew at the time, which was Main Event Gear, and asking them. And I'm like 17 years old at the time. I'm like, yeah, ask them. I got money from like a part-time job. This will be fine. Mm-hmm. And then they quoted me and I was like, oh, that's American pricing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. As soon as you convert that American dollar to
Canadian. 30% more at the time. Probably it was only 15%, but still.
It's killing me.
Yeah.
So I ended up going to one of the fashion students with like $150 Canadian and the fabric already in hand. And I was like, can you just figure out how to make these? And she was like, yeah, sure. Made them. They weren't great. Like, they didn't know what they were doing. They had made, you know, dresses before. They had never made spandex stuff for one, and two, stuff that was intended to hold up to the wear and tear of wrestling. But that lasted me for like my first three or four shows. And then I bought like actual gear. And around that time, I had started designing stuff for myself. I had never taken a commission, but I designed stuff for myself and then like for my tag partner later on. So that was like my first experience with designing and getting into gear making. And then I took my first commission for a design in 2018, which is why my bags and the branding for Archer Wrestling Apparel is established 2018. Because technically I started making money doing it 2018.
And look at you in 2023. You got like a team now and stuff, I understand.
Yeah. So I have one assistant looking for another because the amount of people that I have to like turn away is annoying to me. It's not more than I take on, mind you, like, but it's still annoying because I want everybody to have good gear. I don't want people to have to piece together stuff from Amazon or to go, you know, I'd want custom stuff, but like nobody is able to do it, or, you know, the people who are able to do it to only make for WWE and they're prohibitively expensive. Cause that's what I ran into right when I was starting. So I want to be able to have everybody have good gear, but it's like, I can't do everybody, but I'd like to do more than I'm doing now. Not personally, because personally, I do it as much as I can, but to have like people where I know that they're doing what I believe is a good quality of work, I'd like there to be more people like that. There is still a good chunk, but like Ophidian said it best when I first started learning gear, he's like, nobody should be undercutting anybody or, you know, talking down on anybody, because at the end of the day, they're right now is not enough gear makers for the amount of people who want wrestling gear.
Yeah, no way. And
there won't be for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because like even with the new people we have coming up right now, where there's so many people where they're a wrestler, and either they start making stuff or their partner starts making stuff, there's more of those coming up now than there was when I started. And still, the older people are retiring or their client lists are closed. They just don't take anybody else, you know? So there's always a need. So I want more people who at least have a good idea of quality, at least what I believe is a good idea of quality. I'm no objective standard or whatever.
That's pretty wild. So these two things have played legit hand in hand since the beginning, the being a wrestler and making the gear. How did you balance out the two things in the beginning when you transitioned to the new wrestling school? First of all, how was the transition into becoming like a more than a weekend warrior, like investing full time into becoming a pro wrestler?
It's weird. I am 25 years old and I have an accountant, which like I grew up in basically like government housing. Right. So for me, like my dad has an accountant, but he has a government job. Like he works for the Postal Service. So he's got like good benefits and good pay and whatever. He has an accountant like now. But when I was growing up, to think of like young people having accountants was, you got an accountant when you were 40.
Yeah. You
know? That's how I grew up. So
1,000%.
Like people having, me having an accountant now is weird.
Shadow Canada
Post. I had to, because I'm self-employed. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, and that's not something I ever thought would happen so early. Like I thought that if I was going to be making all my money off wrestling at 25 or 26 years old, I thought it was going to be like, oh, well, you get signed and then you just get a W-2 like everybody else, or you get a T-4 like everybody else. Like I thought it was just going to be that. But doing it now, like keeping track of receipts and all that, that's been a weird adjustment. Time management is always a rough one because it is a balance of like, I have clients to take care of, but also like I have a wrestling career to try and take care of.
Right.
And there's always a tough bit of like, I am really booked up, but this is a good opportunity for a booking. So like, and it's rough because it hasn't happened to me yet, but I always fear it's going to, where it's like, there's going to be somebody where they're like, I need my stuff like as soon as possible. I got this big opportunity coming up. It's like, okay, cool, sure. And then I'm going to go to a show and they're going to be there. And it'll be like that second of like, you're here doing the show, but like, where's my gear? And I was like, you would have done it too if you were me.
Totally.
The amount of wrestlers who I view it as like the amount of wrestlers who call in sick to their day jobs to like go to a Friday booking or something. You know, I'm doing the same thing.
That's you at a show and there's orders to fulfill still.
Yeah. But that's the thing, is there's always orders to fulfill. Yeah. I have not had an empty spreadsheet since I started. Mm-hmm. I've never had the chance to like empty my spreadsheet. Cause even when I say, like, I'm not going to say anything until I empty it, then like regulars come in and ask for stuff. I'm like, okay, well, they're fine. And then ends up being like, I'm not taking anybody new until I finish this spreadsheet. And then like somebody from WWE comes by and it's like, okay, well you, but like it's always a give and take of like trying to manage your time and trying to stick to your own limits. But then there's always stuff that makes you push those limits.
Absolutely. It's, I don't know if there's something you kind of mentioned there with like, you don't want to say that the spreadsheet's looking empty. Cause as soon as you do, it's kind of, have any of you worked in a restaurant?
Yes.
And you're like, it's like, oh, hey, it's kind of slow today.
Like, the chit line's empty. There's no chits waiting. And then like five.
Party of 10 walks in or some shit.
Yeah. Okay. Impromptu party of 10. And they all want like, I don't know. I don't know what it was for you as to like what took up the most space, but for us, we had a very small oven and it was nachos. Like, oh, we had like three parties come in and they all want two plates of nachos each. And it's like, okay, cool. I can fit one plate of nachos in the oven at a time.
The restaurant I worked at, there was the kitchen, and then there was also a salad bar, like, out just outside of the kitchen, like, kind of inside the house that people could see.
Mm-hmm.
And so there, we'd have to, like, coordinate with pizza and salad coming out of this, like, pizza oven with everyone else at the dinner table's entrees coming out of the kitchen. Eesh. And it was just a vicious dance. Terrible. And you know, food service, everyone hates working in it. Nobody gets appreciated enough for doing it. Fuck.
No. Sounds like pro wrestling.
Got a couple of got a couple chats here. Mikey Sway got everyone's drip level up, superstar status on every major promotion and top indie promotion. Put respect on his name, Birdman.
Thank you, Mikey.
No, I believe that would be Mikey Truth, if I'm not mistaken. Mikey with a double I. I'm always like, it's probably Mikey.
That's Mikey Truth. Fellow Dynasty member, the person who actually had the idea for Dynasty.
Oh.
Technically one of my clients, because, like, I make gear for everybody in Dynasty at this point. So it all comes full circle.
It's like kind of for you, but it's also for them. It's also for them, you know.
There's a funny story where it was for me, but like, I was doing it for them, but it's like, I was the one who put my foot down. we were going to IWS, and it was going to be our trio's debut at IWS. This was like 3 months ago, 4 months ago. And we had been like ribbed about it by a local promoter who's like, works very well hand in hand with Battle Arts. And he went like, you guys are a trio. One of the guys in your trio makes gear. Why the fuck don't you guys have like matching trios gear yet? And I was like, one, I'm busy. Two, I'm fucking busy. Three, we haven't designed it yet. We haven't done it yet. So once we got confirmed for the IWS booking, I literally just messaged the both of them. I'm like, here's how much you guys owe me. You have gear for IWS. Here's what it looks like. Cool.
Because
I was like, I'm not, because I had already been at IWS for a few months. And like, I'd already done a few shows there. I'm like, I'm not letting us show up as a trio and have this not be done. So we're just going to do it.
Hell yeah.
Good. And they were like, yeah, sure.
I like hearing that Mikey came up with the idea for Dynasty, because I think Mikey himself just also has a pretty cool story in that he was like a creator wrestler before being an actual wrestler.
Yeah. Mikey is one of the most unique cases in regards to wrestlers that I've ever seen, because like there's a lot of people where they get into wrestling and they get into wrestling super young and they do not work hard at all, or they just like, they don't network. I was guilty of that. I didn't network for like the first, God, it's weird to say the first like couple years of my career, because my career was like a couple months, absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Like literally college pandemic. So that's like 6 years right there. And now I'm starting again. But for the first couple of years of my career where I was going to shows, but not like actively training because I was in college, I did not network at all. And that was one of like the worst things for me. Mikey is the exact opposite. Mikey started a little bit later. I want to say Mikey started training mid to late 20s. Networked viciously. Went everywhere, talked to everyone, and it's paid dividends. Like he is very, very, very good at getting his name out there and being recognized by people for doing that. And then it pays off, because when it is time to wrestle, like the one thing that I always get, because sometimes we'll be on a show and like, because I'm on Twitter so much, people will message me to like review all of us. And the one thing that I always get is like, Mikey just has so much energy and it's fantastic. Like Mikey's energy is just infectious. Every time we have a booking, that's the number one thing I hear back about Mikey, is just so much energy. And I love him for it, because it's like, you can't help but smile because you make your entrance and it's like, all right, serious face, you're making your entrance. And then Mikey just starts screaming. It's like, all right.
Yeah. He had me like rolling out of my chair laughing at the IWS show because Sexy Eddie had a grip on him, we'll say.
Yeah.
And he was just shrieking. And Mikey's hilarious. Let's say something nice about Jackson while we're at it then, though.
Jackson is, oddly enough, he is a testament to, so I'll like, I hate doing this, but I have to sort of like undercut something that everybody else says about the current state of wrestling. People go like, man, WWE taking all these athletes fucking sucks. They don't care about wrestling and stuff like this. I go, man, but there is something to say about some fucking athletes just come in and they just get it. And Jackson was one of those people. Like Jackson was like offset level wrestler. Very, very good. The fundamentals of movement in a combat sports setting, he just gets it. I've only ever known one other person like him in my life where it was like a dude I went to high school with who played rugby and football last year of high school goes, I'll give wrestling a try, and then made it to OFSA. Like some people just have it in regards to combat sports, contact sports, I guess even. And Jackson's one of those people. And there's been so many times where I go like, oh, maybe you should try this. And he goes, oh, okay, cool. Yeah, I'll try that out. And then like, he just does it flawlessly the first time. And I'm like, eh, well, there's that. He's an incredibly quick learner and he's very, very good. Like how quickly he has picked up some of the physical things are mind blowing to me.
Do all three of you train out of Battle Arts?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought so. I got another chat here. D'Lo Diggs popping in. Sway is the man. Mm-hmm. Very right.
Yeah, like DeLorean Diggs? DeLorean Diggs, cool dude.
And, I like him. Also, King of the North with three of my favorite people on one screen. Pop. And just for you, since you are such a fan of the show, King of the North, we'll ask. Got to hear Sway's wrestling gear pet peeves.
You got good one.
Getting the controversial shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, here you go, Jeremy.
Get your sound bites.
Get your transcript ready.
Fucking clip chimp me here. I hate people who design gear, and don't seemingly don't put in any thought as to how the fuck it's supposed to be made.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of designs I get handed where it's like, here you go, nice design, right? And I go, what the fuck do you want me to do with this? How am I supposed to make this? How are you supposed to wrestle in this?
Mm-hmm.
You have fur encasing one of your entire legs. Where's the stretch supposed to come from? You're going to sweat your balls off in this. You're going to hate it after like a week. How are you going to wash it?
Mm-hmm.
It's fur. You want to wash it and comb it out every time?
Put it in the dryer and just have it shrivel up immediately.
The amount of designs I've gotten where I've had to like, and I'm usually pretty understanding because I understand that not everybody who wants to be involved with wrestling has all of the skills required to be involved in wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
I am incredibly lucky that at 25 years old, I make all of my money on wrestling. Like I do not have a other job. It is gear making and wrestling and that's it. And I guess like merch sales, technically you would add in, but like some people they design, but they can't make, whether that's because they've got physical disabilities or whether it's because they don't have the time to invest, to learn, whatever. I'm lucky. I started learning during the pandemic. I was fucking trapped in the house anyway. Mm-hmm. Like I had 12 hours a day to just do on absolutely whatever the hell I wanted. So I literally spent 3 months just dedicated learning how to make gear. I never did anything else. I made gear and played video games, and that was it. So I learned very quickly because of that, and also because I had great teachers, and I had people who I was able to pick their brain, like Ophidian and Kate, like Kel Rose, like the people who taught me how to like physically sew in my like actual life here in Southern Ontario. I was super lucky in that. However, people who design stuff, even taking a second to think about how things have to be sewn and cut and assembled is incredibly important, because just because you saw it somewhere does not mean it works for wrestling. There's a lot of people who take elements of cosplay gear and try and make it for wrestling. Mm. And think, okay, that's great. It doesn't work when that gear is going to be pulled. It doesn't work when, you know, people are going to be running around. It doesn't work long term. Like those cosplay things, they hold up really nicely for pictures and stuff like that. But then you take it off and it's like it's held together by fucking bobby pins. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not everything works that way. And also, as a worker, please be willing to work with your gear maker. And if you're not, don't be upset if they're not the ones to make it. Because, like, I'll say right now, cut and sewn logos, not my forte. If you want me to do, like, I'm trying to find an example. If you wanted me to do this logo, this Matt Awesome sticker, if you had that on a piece of gear and you said, I would like this on, like, my left thigh, I'm custom printing it. 9 times out of 10, I'm going to custom print it. Custom prints may look a little bit flatter, but the margin of error is so much smaller. Because one of his arms, if it's super small pieces, it's got to get stitched in super small. And when that fabric starts fraying a little bit, or when the stitches maybe pop on that piece of fabric, because, you know, wear and tear, it happens, it's going to look like crap in a few months a lot of the time. When you got something with small details, I custom print it. And some people are not willing to have that. They're like, oh no, but I want it out of these specific materials. It's like, okay, well then I'm not the person for you. So design work, work with your gear makers. So now that's my other gear pet peeve. The third one would probably be not outlining things. Most of the gear I try and design, I try and outline things. If I have white letters on red, I will usually put a thin black outline around those white letters to help it pop off the red.
That stroke is very important.
Yeah, it's a stroke, literally. If you work in Photoshop, it's just a simple little stroke. A lot of people don't do it. And I just sit there going, your lettering, your face logo, anything would pop off your tights, trunks, whatever, way more if it just had a thin contrast color outline. So those would be probably my top three.
Yeah, I felt that to my core.
Yeah, in case it wasn't clear that I decided to do this full time, I'm very passionate.
Yeah. No, I felt that last one to my core with the outlining things, because like doing these overlays, if it was just that red on the gold, it's like,
It would look really muddied.
Yeah,
right? you need something to break it up.
That black stroke is what kind of makes it, you know, sit a little bit nicer than the background.
Yeah, it pops it off the background. It's a lot nicer. A
black stroke.
Speaking of all right, well, moving along. Fuck. That's the rant I was looking for. Very good. Yep, there we go.
I'm glad I could oblige you with my anger. That's like a ask Mikey and Jackson.
Yeah.
Put them in a car with me. That is like a fraction of the rant that I am capable of.
I can't remember too much of it, but I caught like bits and pieces at a Courage Pro in Hamilton.
I was talking that day.
Yeah. Well, that was, I think, just before Slammiversary too.
Just before that was
the
busiest time I have ever had aside from WrestleMania Dallas would have been the week leading up to July 15th for Slammiversary.
Mm.
Literally the busiest time of my life, where I was pulling like 14-hour days. And I think one of the days I stayed up till 3 a.m. just because it was like, I have to finish this before I go to bed.
I was going to ask you, what was the quickest turnaround you've had for some important gear?
So quickest turnaround in regards to actually shipping it.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, a day.
A day.
Wow. Yeah. The first, funnily enough, the first set I ever made for Speedball.
Wow.
I had made it. I think the turnaround was like, I think the from purchase to thing would have been a month.
Okay.
What happened was I had measured, because I didn't measure him because he was prepping for a match. I had measured an existing set of gear that he had. And the issue with measuring an existing set of gear is that when you go to pattern it, gear lays flat differently than the pattern lays with the curves built in.
Mm-hmm.
So it ended up being like, it wasn't a good shape. It was too high waisted and stuff like that. And I went, okay. So I literally, so I brought it to him on the Saturday and it didn't fit well. And that was at, I think, Lucha Tio or Demand Lucha. And he had Destiny on Sunday. So instead of staying and watching the Lucha Tio show, I went home, completely remade the piece. Like, cause it was like, oh, well, you can just like seam rip it and work it down. Fuck it. Completely remade the piece from start to finish. And then brought it back to him the next day.
Wow.
At Destiny. So like from 8 p.m. at Lucha Tio to 3 p.m. call time when I showed up at Destiny. That would have been like my quickest turnaround.
That's insane.
Quickest time I ever made a piece was 3.5 hours. And that was a pair of trunks for Kevin Blackwood.
Wow. Speaking of delivering gear to Speedball, I understand you had a little bit of a quest to get him his Best of Super Junior gear this year.
Yep. Yep.
He drove to Philly the day before he flew out or something.
Yeah. Yeah. A day or two before. Cause I think I ended up driving down on the Sunday and I think I drove down on the Saturday and he flew out Monday. Mm-hmm. But what it was that he either flew out Monday or Tuesday, but whatever it was, I went to UPS. I think actually might have been Tuesday because I would have had it there for Monday. And usually that would have been okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to UPS, which is who I shipped through. And I went, hey, I need this in Philly for Monday. I understand it's going to be a little more expensive, whatever. And they went, yeah, well, you can't guarantee anything right now. I don't remember what it was that was going on in the States. Something in May was going on in the States. I don't know whether it was like environmental stuff or something happened. But UPS loves to go, something happened, we guarantee nothing. It happened so much when I try and send stuff to Florida, because Florida gets like tropical storms and hurricanes and whatever. And if it's
Florida,
the hurricane could be on Wednesday. From Monday to Sunday, guaranteed delivery. They're like, we guarantee nothing. There's potentially a hurricane anytime within this week. And then they take that opportunity to just go, we're just going to deliver it at God's will and it'll get there when it gets there.
Right.
So they were like, yeah, we can't guarantee Monday. And I said, okay, that's not an option for me. It needs to be there Monday. I'm not letting him get on this plane without, you know, this brand new set of gear, brand new entrance jacket that he ordered.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, fuck it. We're going to Philly. Literally. I was like, fuck it. Got in the car, drove to Philly. Ended up making like a trip out of it, going to New York the next day, because I didn't realize how close New York City was to East Philly.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, fuck it, go down there. I went to Suplex Vintage in Philly as well that day. Mm-hmm. I made a trip out of it because I try my best to be as proactive as I can, but sometimes that's not possible. And when I can't be proactive, I try not to be, I am reactive, but I try not to do things on a retribution basis where it's like, oh, I'll get you next time. There's certain people where it's like, no, take care of those people because they take care of you. Like Speedball is my most consistent client. He was one of the first people that was consistently getting like not only TV looks, but having like these super high profile matches where everybody was tuning in and watching him and going, oh crap, like that's really cool gear and stuff like that. And then it all came back to me. He's referred me to so many people. I always joke that he like shopped me around at Impact, because it was one of the times I went to Impact and Speedball was just like, have you met Sway? Sway makes gear. And one of the loops that I went to help out, I ended up getting like 6 orders off it. Wow. Because he was like, he speaks the world of me and I appreciate it so much. So yeah, I was like, I want to make sure that there's no way that he goes to one of the biggest stages in the world without new stuff.
Mm-hmm. A Sub-Zero gear was so nice too.
That's one of his favorite sets. That's one of my favorite sets that I've made. I think my thing is, I always look at them and I go, the bikers are super simplistic, but all the colors work really nice and all the textures work really nice. So I'm okay with it.
You know, what's really interesting, discussing all of this, discussing all of this gear talk is I think about how often people change their gear and people try to stay, like, there's some wrestlers that try to have new gear every single match or switch it up as often as they can. Does that play a role? Do you care about that at all? If somebody wears your gear once or twice and then they move on to something else? Or is it just like, it's a piece, like it's out?
I don't care at all.
Right.
I could not care less. Mm-hmm. There is times where I go like,
like, that was a good piece, man. I wish it could have got like, another wear.
Somebody shelves a piece, and I'm like, damn, but that was a really good piece. Right. But it's like, it's not something I take personally, because I'd be a hypocrite. I do not wear the same set of gear more than once to the same promotion.
See?
Right. With very few exceptions.
Right.
Like, when I was wrestling crossbody, I only had one set of tag gear that matched my partner, Derek. So I can't like go to him and go, well, either we're not going to match as a tag team or like you have to get new gear. That'd be shitty. Right. I was just like, no, we'll stick with the black and gold and we'll just run that. But in regards to anytime I haven't had a trios booking, anytime that's been like a singles or a scramble or something like that, I've always had new gear for Battle Arts, C4, IWS, every single place that I've gone. Every single time I go, it is right now in my house. Currently, I have 4 sets. I have the set that I have that matches Mikey and Jackson. I have the set that I have that matches Derek. I have the Barbie set that I wore at IWS. And then I have a red and like red, burgundy, white and gray, like brocade set. And I'm currently, I just have to wait till my fabric shop reopens. They went to Disney World. I know I've been in hell. I can't get new fabric for like a week.
They're in heaven at the best time of their life. You're just like, come home.
You think they're in heaven until you remember how much Disney World costs. He told me he was paying like $12,000 on that trip between him, his partner, and his 2 kids. I was like, you are insane. But yeah, like I've got like a paint splatter, but like almost like an oil spill sort of material that I'm making my next set out of. Like I'm always planning new stuff. There's a designer. I want to get his axe. I want to shout him out because he is so talented. And to think that when I first went to him, he said he had never designed anything for men. And now he regularly designs for like top names. Where is it? Neon_S Kyle X, one of the best designers in wrestling. I go to him probably like once every other month. Even though I haven't made some of the stuff he's designed yet, I get them so that when I have like a big showing, I go, okay, cool. I have a design in the bank that I can put forward for this. Like he's designed sets for me. He's designed sets for Speedball. He's designed sets for Leo. And I remember first going to him and going like, because he was one of those people where he designs for a lot of the women. Tell so many designers start is they really like women's wrestling or they really like the fashion of women's wrestling and they design for them. And I went to him, I said, how much have you designed for men? He goes, not a lot. And I went, have you designed anything like for men that's been made that I can see? He's like, no, not really. And I said, okay, well, here's an idea that I have. Show me what you get out of this. and then we'll go from there. And it turned out phenomenally. And now I send him everything. Like, he designed Speedball set for Best of Super Juniors. That was his design, top to bottom. Yeah. I just gave him the color scheme and the idea, and he drew it up completely. He is so good.
And then you take the design and actually craft
it. Yep. And he's also very good for, like, making stuff where, like, it may be super intensive to make, but it's all doable. It's all capable of being made.
Well, speaking of some of your favorite designs, I did get you to send me some of your favorite designs. So let's take a look through some of them. You can give me, you know, give us kind of, you know, a quick story about them, or an anecdote if you'd like. Start with, I'll just go in the list or order you sent them to me in. Starting here.
So that is Speedball's bikers and flag for Sacrifice this past year, March 25th, 26th weekend. So to go into it, it's really based off how the idea of doing the Mortal Kombat Ninjas originally came up. Mm-hmm. We were originally working off thunder themes because Speedball had, like, these lightning tights, and our mutual friend Andy Bellanger, Animal Bob Anger, designed him some stuff. And it was long tights, and he said, "Okay, let's make these bikers." So we made them bikers, and we ran with a few silhouettes of that. And then we had a few others, and it came to a point where I went, fuck, like, I want to do something with thunder and lightning. I don't want to do Thor. So I am a big Mortal Kombat nerd, so I thought of Raiden. So there's a website called MK Warehouse that has all of the Mortal Kombat characters in history and everything they've ever looked like. So, like, it's got Raiden from Mortal Kombat, you know, 1, 2, 3, Deadly Alliance, blah, 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 all the way down. And I think it's his Mortal Kombat X outfit that I took from to make. There's a blue set he wore at Slammiversary. Right after that, he took a promo photo where he's kind of like this, where he's kind of got this weird, like, up fist stance. I don't know what it's called. He's the martial artist. But someone said he looks like a Mortal Kombat character. So I designed him Scorpion gear, Sub-Zero gear, and then this one was based off Ermac, and that's based off Ermac's look from, I believe, MKX. It's a mixture of a few of them, actually, but that's where, like, the gray straps over top come from, the sort of mummified look he had in that game. Obviously, the burgundy based off his original, and that gold crest that's in the flag is the Netherrealm crest for, like, the Netherrealm faction within the games.
All right. And the next one we got. There we go.
That is the Blackheart jacket that I made for Leo Rush.
Yeah.
That one was made for WrestleMania week, I believe, this past year in California. Yeah. That's another one that Neon Skyle X designed. One of my more challenging pieces to date, because it was the first time I had ever had to make something where the lining was also designed to be shown, like those lapels coming out, people were also going to see that. So I was like, well, crap, how do I do that? There's a hood and a collar on it, and that's not common. So I had to sort of pattern that out myself. It's like, hey, we have this collared trench coat. It's hard to see there, but there's a collar underneath that. So there's a collared trench coat. And then also, how do we put a hood over top of that? Because normally they attach at the same place at the base of the neck. Mm-hmm. So that was a tough commission, but it was super, super rewarding. Cause, like, seeing it in movement and seeing the way that it looks during his entrance, especially the one he had at Multiverse, was really, really cool to see.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Next up, definitely looks like some Keita Murray.
So Keita Murray is one of my first ever commissions. My first five was Dean Hiram, who was a student of the Nightmare Factory. Literally the first paid commission I ever took was Dean Hiram. And I always say, if he is still wrestling, I don't know if he's still wrestling, come back to me. I will make you a set for free, because knowing what I know now, the set that I made him was like so fucking shit. It was so poor quality. Like, it was still good, but I would never put that quality out now because I know so much more now. Dean Hiram, Keita Murray, O'Shea Edwards, Trevor Eon, and it's a tie because they ordered at the same time between DeAndre Jackson and Gabriel Kai. Those are like my first sets of commissions.
Bunch of homies, bunch of black wrestlers. 500's coming out, y'all.
All of them. All of them. Like black, and then Gabriel Kai's Polynesian. All of them. And Keita, that's my favorite set I've designed for Keita. I love red and gold and black, as you can tell by the colors I gave to you for the logos and everything. Red, gold, and black, I think, is just like a gorgeous color combination. And it's more than just the typical wrestling red and black. Everybody, their first set of gear, you ask like 90% of wrestlers, you go, what was your first set of gear? And they either go all black or red and black. Because it's just such a common color combo. Adding gold, adding gold in is just a way to spruce it up, which I really like.
All right. And next up,
Aiden Prince. So Aiden Prince, this set's bittersweet for me. I'll explain why. This was based off of a set that, well, it, not only just a set, it's a style of gear that I think the best gear maker in the world, I can say that now because Sandra's retired, the best gear maker in the world, Soi Takeda in Japan, he does this way of doing multi-texture sets where it's these jagged lines and it's all the same color, but they're different textures. And it shows up so nicely in pictures. It's harder to see when you're live, but it looks gorgeous in pictures. And I had sent, he did a set like that for Malachi Black. And I sent that Malachi Black set to Princey. And I said, what do you think of doing a multi-texture set? He said, I love it. I want to go with like this darker theme that he was doing for a storyline. So we did those. There's kick pads that match them. Here's where the bittersweet part comes in. Prince got injured in that set.
Oh,
man.
He ended up messing up his lower leg, and the kick pads, which to date are my favorite set of kick pads ever made, they had to cut him out of one of them.
Oh no.
Lower leg. So I was just like, it wasn't on my mind at the time, because at the time I'm like, oh my God, like my friend just fucking got injured like in the middle of a main event match, right? And like, obviously, cut through the fucking thing. And then like, it was like 2 days later, I was like, fuck. Like, those were really nice kick pads, and they're fucked. But I told him already, I'm like, I'll remake you a set for free, because I feel fucking terrible about like having, one, the injury, to like that injury also like taking a set of gear away from him, basically. But no, that is still, it's a very nice set. It was challenging to make, but I love the result of it.
Excellent. Sad story, but good ass pair of trunks.
Yeah.
Then maybe a familiar set. You know, I might have seen that robe in a particular title match.
That was the Raiden set that I was referring to. That was made for Slammiversary. I believe it was last year.
He won the X Division title.
It's not 2 years ago. That was the one he won the X Division title.
Ultimate X.
In an Ultimate X match. And I don't even know if he knows this, but Drumboy, who is the merch guy for Impact, we were going through promo photos for signings after, when we were in Atlanta, Georgia for Hard to Kill. And I saw this picture. I said, I'm going to keep this one memento as the first gear I ever made for a main roster champion. Because like that, and I always said, if they ended up making action figures for him and that was the gear on it, I'd be happier than a pig and shit. Because one, gorgeous set, love it so much. The design was like it ended up opening so many doors for me. The blacksmith jersey that he has is based off that set.
True.
So I ended up getting a blacksmith jersey because they were like, hey, send us the pattern that you used and we'll send you this jersey. Because like that's what we want to run with. It is like so... This set is probably one of like those benchmark sets where it goes, my career was like going well, and then like that was a jump. And then I started doing even better after that.
That was your big pay-per-view. That was your main event of the pay-per-view sort of match.
In terms of
your gear making.
Yeah. And for it to be like X Division champion, an Ultimate X match, a debut for the gear. It wasn't like it was gear that he had been wearing for like a few months and then he just so happened to win the championship in it. There was a lot that came together that made that set of gear really significant. And then all the stuff after it as well sort of compounded on.
Absolutely. So you have done, you've made gear for so many people. And then the list continues to grow. You're also... Your bookings continue to grow in the ring as well. I know season 2 of Uproar is starting up, so I can imagine I'll be seeing you at Crossbody. I'm gonna be out there myself, so I'll hopefully see you some more over the season at Crossbody and around the GTA. But what do you have in terms of goals for yourself? I know you've already accomplished enough.
I know that
there's more. Everybody wants to do more. And as you accomplish your goals,
exactly.
That's the thing. As you accomplish your goals, you got to adjust your goals. And then just,
you had gear at WrestleMania this year.
I have not. That's one thing on my bucket list. That is like at the very top. Although there was actually something that was above it that got accomplished on like a spur of a moment thing. And that was Wrestle Kingdom. Because WrestleMania is great. WrestleMania is all well and good. However, when it comes to gear, Japanese wrestlers blow American wrestlers out of the water.
Yeah.
Big time. So for me, I was like,
especially at Wrestle Kingdom.
That would be just like, in terms of gear, just a step above WrestleMania. And Leo Rush ended up commissioning me for a set for Wrestle Kingdom.
His gear was crazy too. That was fire. Yeah,
that was challenging because it was like, okay, this is a huge stage and I've never made gear for you before. So I was so worried about, I don't know if it's gonna fit, all that stuff. That one UPS didn't fuck me up on, but it was another one where it was like, I have to get this to him before it goes to Japan. I was working on like a pretty short deadline for that one, but it worked out nicely. Everything fit pretty good. I think the kick pads we ended up making adjustments to after, but yeah. That was like probably one of the top of my gear bucket list things that I accomplished last year or this past year, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent. But then, WrestleMania aside, what else do you, what else is on the goals for you in the ring, out of the ring, around the ring?
So the gear one that I have right now is I want a regular client in every single major promotion. So right now I have regular clients in Impact. I have a regular client at NXT with Trick Williams. I literally just shipped out stuff for Trick, like literally right before we started this. I've made stuff for people in AEW. Like I've made stuff for Lee Moriarty, but he's not like a regular client. And I always want to say, I never hold that against anybody because sometimes shit does not work. Whether it's time, whether it's fit, whether it's like, especially working for AEW and WWE, they have in-house gear makers. It's so hard to be like, oh no, I'm going to keep getting my gear elsewhere while I have somebody who can make it in hours. And there's no shipping, there's no nothing. Like they do it in front of me. I can choose the materials in hand. Like that's a level of service that I aspire to. But it's not possible for people who live in the States. I do it for the Canadians as much as I can, like to bring them materials to shows and stuff and do test fittings and all that.
Canada's up. Let's go.
Yeah, I know. We get that for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I would like to have a mate. I would like to have a regular in every major promotion. That's like one of my gear goals. There's a few clients where it's like, I don't know if I'd ever be able to make stuff for them, but I'd love to. Swerve is always one that I say I would love to make stuff for Swerve. Always have found his sort of his just aura to be like something that I wanted my looks associated with. Although I already got like clients where it's like, if I didn't have them, I would definitely want them. Leo and Trick especially, because those are two people with same thing where it's like, I just love what they do. Other than that, career wise, I want to work more regularly at like more promotions here. Cause I work a lot of like my most consistent bookings are quite a ways away. I love working C4. I love working IWS. They are very far.
Yeah.
It's a long drive. It is a long drive, but I'm happy to make it because I love those two promotions. I think those two are ostensibly top two promotions in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I'm happy to go. I do want more here though. And I don't want there to be a weekend that I have without wrestling unless it's by my choice. Like I want it to be like, I refuse bookings on this weekend because I want to go to Aruba or something. Like, you know what I mean? Other than that, I'm planning a trip to Japan, not a wrestling trip to Japan, but I'm trying to like sort of swing it into a wrestling trip. Cause like originally it was just a plan to like go with like friends, but it's like, no, I would like to get at least one thing while I'm over there. And then like personal stuff, like I want to hit 220. I'm at 190. And I said, by the age of 30, I need to hit 220. That's like, I can do it. It's just a matter of doing it. Which
is the you and I are about the same height. I've got plenty of experience of getting over the 220 mark. I can help
in
you
a different
out,
way.
I can help you out with that, man. Let's just come to Hamilton. We'll go grab some dinners. I'll show you.
Like, I don't think that's what he means, Mike. I don't think that's what he means.
I will spend hours in August 8. That's my one thing for Hamilton. I will spend hours in August 8.
Yeah. Well, guess what? It's 5 minute. It's a 5 minute walk from my house up the road off the highway, and it's fucking closed down.
Oh, you're at that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my
there's the downtown one though.
Yeah, the downtown one's the one I went to last time. My fabric shop is 5 minutes from that August 8th.
Okay.
If you keep going down past the Walmart and stuff, right before you get to the bend that's closed right now, like Claremont Access or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Right before you get there, that's where I buy all my fabric.
Oh shit. Okay. Yeah. Here we go.
Small world.
Yeah. This is the first
small world.
It's so funny after all the like Bay Area people that have been on the show to have somebody that I can understand.
Local person.
I get to understand the regional geography now, and they're just sitting there, like nod and smile. It's weird to be on this side of things. So weird.
True.
Oh man. Well, I'll say it's been a pleasure talking to you, hearing your story, getting to show off your work, getting the list of accomplishments just continues to pile up for you.
I'm trying.
And in the meantime, I'd love for you to tell people where they can find you, where where they can inquire about perhaps wearing you. Let them know.
Inquiring about wearing me. That's the fun part. You don't give me a bit. so busy.
True.
I legitimately like, aside from like personal recommendations that come from like regular clients, I'm not taking on a lot of new stuff. Yeah. However, if you want to see the work that I've done, which I need to update more, I'm still doing better than a lot of people, but I need to update it a lot more. On Instagram, that is at Archer Wrestling Apparel. If you don't want to type that in or misspell apparel like I did for the first like couple of years. Everything else is at Sway Archer. That's on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, all of that. And then on my Instagram, there is a link through to my gear making page. So if you go at Sway Archer on Instagram, it's very easy to find from there.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much again for spending this this time with us. Reg, where can everyone find you at?
You know where you can find me every Saturday morning. I'm on the Fightful Network with Philip Lindsay, Graph City Podcast. Tomorrow and Friday, I'm going to be outside. It's the West Coast Cup, West Coast Pro. If you have IWTV or if you are in the area, grab you a ticket, watch the show. A lot of great action is going to be happening. Got Benny Massaro, we got Titus Alexander, got Speedball Mike Bailey, who we talked about on here, Brian Keith, Starboy Charlie, Max the Impaler. The list goes on. Kevin Knight, so many great, amazing wrestlers. Two nights of the best wrestling you're going to see coming up here for the West Coast Cup Pro show. It's going to be a great time. So definitely tune into that. Every Wednesday, I'm here with Mike on Indeed, talking to all the best in independent wrestling. Wednesday night, I'm on the post show with Denise. Tune into that. There's a lot of great action. Just released our new intro video for that. If you haven't seen it, definitely tune in for that. Won't be on with Kate tomorrow on the ROH post show because I'll be at the Ring of Honor, West Coast Cup show. So, yeah, I'm everywhere.
There you go, man. And myself, I'm actually also leaving my house this weekend. It's
what?
Rare circumstances. Yes. You know, my discs have unherniated themselves enough for me to go out and see some more independent wrestling this weekend.
Let's go, baby.
So this Saturday, I will be at Pro Wrestling Ontario at the Germania Club, downtown Hamilton, Ontario. You know, lovely place. But got a good card there. Greed versus Jesse V for the open weight title. We've got Storm Grayson defending the freelance wrestling title against Tyler Hill. Matt Grant is defending the crossbody pro wrestling internet title in a four-way match. The brothers who used to bang, who I don't know, cease and desist, whatever you want to call them now, they're going to be there. I'm really excited to see that like tag team shenanigan spot foo shit. I bought front row because the new Bang Bros are on it.
Mm-hmm. You bought front row to catch them?
I'm gonna. Brother. Yeah. Well, you know, hey, changing posture is good for my back. So you know, getting up and down to move out of the way for dives, were, you know, it's really mm-hmm. for my benefit. But yeah, so we're gonna be watching. So I'll be at Pro Wrestling Ontario on Saturday. I'm also gonna be watching West Coast Cup over the next 2 days. Happy birthday, Vinny Massaro!
Vinny, happy birthday, Big Vin, the Booker Man.
Yeah, and then also I'll be on the Brunch Gimmick over on Love Wrestling on Sunday. I think this Sunday, Maggie from Fightful is gonna be on there with us. I think we're doing a potato chip roundtable. So see you then. And then every Wednesday, talking with Reg about independent wrestling with a bunch of independent wrestlers. Like, okay, good. I got the list pulled up. Next week, Cole Radrick. August 23rd, Spencer Love, owner of Love Wrestling. Yeah. August 30th, Dylan McQueen's going to be here. September 6th, Big Ben Ortman's. That's also going to be the premiere night for the new season of Crossbody Pro Wrestling Uproar. It'll be starting at 7 p.m. So we're on a hard one hour hard time limit on September 6th. Mm-hmm. And then also just talked to him about it last night. But September 13th, the Death Fighter himself, Akira, will be joining us.
Sweet.
And
nice lineup.
Very slight plug. Aside from Spencer Love, every indie wrestler you name that you're going to have on the show is someone I have either made gear for or I'm about to make gear for. So,
make Spencer Love like a tie to do some ring announcing in, and then you're all set. You
know? We'll do it. Spencer, DM me. We follow each other. DM me.
Yeah, honestly, I feel like I gotta go. I should give you the whole like list of everyone we've ever had, and it's probably most of them. So
it's a good chunk.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And again, Sway, thank you so much for your time. Thank you at home for tuning in and hanging out with us. Go to an indie show, go find a wrestler, find their merch store, buy some merch, support everybody. And yeah, peace and love. We'll see you next Wednesday.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.